Like to welcome each of you here to Grove Bible Church for this special Sunday morning service. Today we're celebrating the commissioning of Carl Heiser as chaplain of the Clinton County Jail through Forgotten Man Ministries. We count it an honor to have Carl, Michelle, and others of his family here with us today. Just so thankful that they're a part of the Grove Church family here. Today we're going to give thanks for the great things God has done in their lives, and then also through their lives, as their lives have touched many people. We're looking forward to what God has in store today for us here. Thank each of you for braving the weather to be here today. With us today are State Representative Graham Filler of the 93rd District. So glad you could be here today. And then also Clinton County Sheriff Larry Giroux and his wife, Tina. Okay, thank you so much for being here as well. We also have a representative of the Forgotten Man Ministries, Daryl White. So good to have you here as well. And then other honored co-workers, friends, family. We thank each of you for your presence here to celebrate this day together. If you're visiting Grove today for the first time as a guest, we just want to say how thankful we are that you're here. We want you to feel at home with us here, and Melissa, my wife, and I would love to meet you, have the opportunity to get to know you. And then I want to say that after the service in the Activity Center just across the parking lot, we'll be having a catered meal provided, and everybody here is welcome to come join us for that. If you are a part of the Grove Church family, I just encourage you to read through the bulletin. We won't go through that step by step this morning. Just to say, this Sunday is the last day for signing up for the Ministries Conference, and I really encourage you to go, especially if you've never been before. Ladies, the Prayer Pal dinner is this Tuesday. There's more details in the bulletin about that. And then just an important note that tonight there's no evening service. And then please continue to keep Callie Marison in your prayers, also Frank and Rita's great grandbaby Caden. And then Brenda Hill, all of these folks have been in the hospital just this weekend. Brenda's here with us today, thanking the Lord for her. But just continue to remember these folks in your prayers. At this time, I'm going to ask Representative Filler to come lead us in an opening prayer. And then after that, Daryl White will read a passage of Scripture.
Please bow. Lord, we come in front of you with a very, very simple prayer, thankfulness, thankful for our family, thankful for this Grove Church, wonderful, wonderful pillar in this community, thankful for our friends who don't know Jesus. We pray for them and that we talk to them and get to know them. Lord, thank you for Pastor Larry Smith and all the people he's touched. And Lord, just remember, let us remember, that in the middle of a storm, great is your faithfulness. Amen.
Well, good morning. I'm Daryl White with Forgotten Man Ministries, and it's a real pleasure to meet Larry today. With his long involvement with Forgotten Man and the many, many people that he's touched. And Sheriff, it's great to meet you too. But Carl, this is your day, so this is really fun. This is the first time I've met any of the three of them, and your pastor asked if I would read a scripture, so I thought it was kind of funny. I became a Christian 40 years ago. It's the one time I've been in a church without my Bible. My wife asked me if she could take my truck because the wind was so bad. And I said, yes, you can take my truck. Well, you know where my Bible is. It's in the truck. So let's go ahead and read out of 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Thank you.
Earlier I said today that we're recognizing God's calling on Carl Heiser's life as Clinton County Chaplain. And as was mentioned, today we're also recognizing the longtime service of Pastor Larry Smith as Clinton County Chaplain, officially from 1986 until the end of 2018. And when I talked with Pastor Larry about this service, he said to me, you know, this is Carl's day. I don't want the focus to be on me. And then we turned and we talked to Carl about the service today, and he said, I want this to be about Pastor Larry and not about me. And doesn't that just sound exactly like these men? So thankful for these two humble servants of the Lord. They don't really care about the spotlight. That's not what life is about for them. And it's not about recognition or status or tenure. The thing that really drives these men is just the fact that they are amazed by the grace of God in their lives. They're amazed that God would give grace to save sinners and then not only save them, but then go on to use them in his service. And that's what it's about for them. So ultimately, today isn't about Carl or Larry, but it's about the glory of God, and it's about the grace that saves and transforms lives. Like the famous hymn, It Is Well, says, there's a stanza that says, Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. And that's really the message of the gospel, because without Christ, we're absolutely helpless. We are in a helpless estate without Christ. But he shed his blood on the cross to save our souls from sin. And the Bible tells us that by turning to Christ in faith and turning away from our sin in repentance, that we can have eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel, putting our faith in the one who not only died for us, but rose again to give us eternal life. And that's really what motivates both Larry and Carl, motivates them to get out of bed each day, motivates them to go into the jail day after day and teach what the Word of God says. So I want to be clear that the spotlight is on God and on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But also, having said that, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13 to give respect and honor where respect and honor are due. And I really believe that respect and honor are due to these two men today. The Bible says to give honor especially to those who labor in the preaching of the Word of God and in teaching. And that's exactly what Pastor Larry and Carl have been called to do, to proclaim the Word of God, to teach it. And I think they believe that if we know the word of truth, then we can't be content to keep it to ourselves. Love compels us to share the truth with other people. The scripture we read earlier that Daryl graciously read for us in 2 Timothy 2 again says this, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is a letter, the letter to Timothy from the Apostle Paul, and Timothy was a young man that Paul had shared the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with. And Timothy had listened, and he had believed, and that's why he's called here my son in the faith. Paul had led Timothy to faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, now take those things that I taught you and that you believed and go and teach others the same thing so that through faith, their lives can be changed as yours was, Timothy. And in fact, he says, commit these things. And that word commit means to deposit, like you would something valuable, and put it in a safe deposit box. And he said, take that eternally valuable deposit, which we've safeguarded, and then take that and invest it in the lives of other people so that they can then safeguard that and invest it in the lives of others. And that's really what this is talking about, this chain of discipleship, followers of Christ who then train others to follow Christ, and they in turn make other followers of Christ until Jesus Christ returns again. And that's how the gospel is spread. That's how it multiplies, by one person passing the torch to another and letting that chain continue. I use that phrase, passing the torch. You see it there in the order of service. Of course, the history of that is from the Olympic Games. Although the ancient Greek Games had an Olympic flame, that's been there since the beginning, the Olympic flame, it wasn't actually until 1936, and I just discovered this recently, in 1936 in the Berlin, Germany Games, they had an Olympic torch relay. That was the first actual Olympic torch relay, as you see people passing the torch until they get to the stadium and lighting the cauldron, the Olympic cauldron. In competitive games, though, that same concept of passing the torch, actually in competitive games they use a baton, thankfully, but that is part of the relay race. And so what we see is in the Olympics, they pass a physical torch for the torch lighting relay, or they pass a physical baton, and they do those things for the glory of recognition and for the glory of victory. Victory in a game. But the torch we speak of today is infinitely more valuable than a torch of wood or metal or a baton. The torch we speak of today is spiritual and eternal. It is the torch of passing life-changing eternal truths of the Word of God from one generation to the next. And this passing of the torch has been committed to every believer. In an athletic competition, the baton relay race is a chain of passing and receiving. Passing and receiving. I heard the story recently of a well-known speaker who had a dream right before he died. And in that dream, he saw an athlete lying in a coffin, clutching a baton in his hand. And as he awoke with the realization that many people die holding on to the baton instead of passing it. And the point is, torches and batons are made to be passed, and such is the Word of God. It was made to be passed, passing and receiving. For those who are passing, it's their duty to make sure that that transfer is safe. You've seen some of those transfers botched in some of the Olympic games where it's dropped. He's saying, hold on to the truth. It talks about false teachers in this book. He's saying, hold on to what you know to be true. And so it's the duty of the one passing it to make sure that that transfer is sure. And then it's their duty to cheer on that person and encourage them in the race. Here Paul said, I passed the true gospel to you. You understood it. Now be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's saying, no, you're not sufficient in yourself to do anything, but by God's grace, by His strength, you will succeed in passing it on. The next verses tell us that, yes, there will be hardship, there will be suffering on the way. Some people will not listen, some people will turn away, but just be faithful. See, what Paul is doing is cheering Timothy on. And then for Timothy, or the one receiving the baton or the torch, it's their duty to look ahead. They are not the runner that passed the torch to them, they are the receiver, and so they look ahead. Timothy was not Paul, so he couldn't stand back wishing that he were Paul. No, Timothy is not Paul, and Carl isn't Larry. Each is their own person with their own unique gifts given by God for the race that is set before them. And so it's the duty of the one receiving the torch then not to look back, but to look ahead and to look at Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, keeping our eyes fixed on Him, the one who provides us the grace and strength to go forward. And that's what we speak of when we speak of passing the torch. See, we all have this stewardship. And the stewardship that God has given to us is this, not to hold on to the torch, but to pass it, to deposit the truth into the lives of faithful people who will then pass it on to others. Who are you looking at to pass the torch of truth to? Whether it's your kids, coworkers, friends, who are you looking for to pass on that torch? That's my challenge today. And as someone once said, make your mission in life someone other than yourself. And I really believe that Pastor Larry has embodied that. He has invested in others. He has passed the torch. And the reality is, if we clutch that torch, and if we keep that to ourselves, if we don't pass the torch, who will? It's incumbent upon us to pass the torch. Pastor Larry led Carl to the Lord, and spent hours investing in Carl's life. And now Carl continues the ministry, and I couldn't be happier to see that chain of discipleship continue. Pastor Larry passed the torch to a faithful man who will be able to teach others also. I really believe that. And so I want to thank you, Pastor Larry. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. And we want to recognize you today. Just according to how the Bible says, give honor where honor is due. That's really what we want to do. We want to recognize you not only for what you've done in the jail ministry, but what you've done among us. You and your wife, Carol, serving in Grove for many years. You served as assistant pastor for 20 years, interim pastor for almost 2 years. You've taught and counseled and advised and prayed and served in countless ways, more than we could number. So the deacon board gathered, and we voted to recognize your service to Grove and to the gospel and to the men and women of the Clinton County Jail by conferring on you, Pastor Larry, today the title of Pastor Emeritus of Grove Bible Church. This title doesn't come with duties or expectations that we have of you, but simply as a way just to convey our gratitude to you and your wife and to respect you for your faithfulness to God and to Grove Bible Church. And so I'd ask you, Pastor Larry, if you'd be willing, you and Carol, to come at this time and receive a certificate which acknowledges our calling to you as Pastor Emeritus of Grove Bible Church. Certificate of recognition, the Deacon Board of Grove Bible Church, in recognition of his loving service to our congregation, hereby informally celebrates Pastor Larry Smith as Pastor Emeritus, beginning on the date of February 24th, 2019. If you'd stay for just a moment. Carol, if you would come. Graham Filler also has something that he'd like to present to you folks.
Thank you so much. So as a state representative, I get to give out tributes. And along with State Senator Tom Barrett, we got together and we did a very nice special tribute from the state of Michigan and our office for Pastor Larry Smith. And it says a lot of wonderful things, but I'll just boil it down. If there's one word when I think of the pastor, and I'm going to give you that, you want to hang on to that, Larry. I think of the word trailblazer. I know he's going to get mad at me and say it's, you know, hyperbole and rhetoric, but people come into my office. I get to work on judiciary matters in the state of Michigan. They come into my office and they say, boy, there's got to be a better way of dealing with prisoners and prison reform and the prison population. Maybe we got ways of educating them or prison ministry kind of things. And I think to myself, it's really nice that there's a push now to do that, and that's very smart. Larry's been telling prisoners about Jesus for 30 years. I mean, he's been ahead of the curve on that. So it's good that it's the move right now. But Larry and Carl and the rest of Forgotten Man Ministry has been doing that for a long time. So we want to say thank you from my office, from Senator Barrett's office, and honored to give you that tribute, Larry.
Thank you. At this time, it's my pleasure to invite Sheriff Larry Giroux to come and share on his perspective of the importance of the chaplaincy to the jail.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Good morning. I was very honored when the pastor made contact with me and asked if I would be a part of the service today and come say and explain to you the importance of what the Forgotten Man Ministry means to us at the Clinton County Sheriff's Department. I think Romans 10, verse 15 says it best. How beautiful are the feet that bring good news. Think about that. How beautiful are the feet that bring good news. That's exactly what the Forgotten Man Ministry does. They bring the word of our Lord Jesus Christ to our inmates who generally are with great despair, depression, anger, anxiety, fear, abandonment, and feeling unloved. The Forgotten Man Ministry comes in every day and teaches the word of our Lord Jesus Christ to these people. And they do it with passion, commitment, desire, purpose, and dedication. They share with them and they tell them, we are all God's children. Good people make bad decisions. If you take away the bad decision, you still have a good person. They tell them that our God is a loving God and forgiving God. And they tell them that our God forgives them and loves them. And that if they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in their lives will dramatically change. It'll take away that disparity, that depression, the anxiety and the fear. They do this every single day. They tell them that if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as we have, you will be able to fight the demons in your life. Those demons of drug addiction, those demons of alcohol, those demons of aggressive and abusive behavior. You will come to know the Lord and you will beat the devil and you will laugh and you will win. And you will not only enjoy a wonderful life here on earth, you will be prepared for everlasting life in heaven with our God. What a wonderful thing. How beautiful are the feet that those that bring good news. You know, we talk of recidivism rate, and the state rep hit on it a little bit. I've been in law enforcement 43 years. I know I started when I was five. But no, I've been in it 43 years, and as long as I've been in it, we've talked of recidivism rates. And recidivism rate is the rate that in which a person who is released from a correctional facility will go back out into the general population and repeat their crime and then get reincarcerated. National average tells us about 70 to 75% of the people who are released from incarceration will go out and repeat and come back into that correctional facility. And it's great that people are coming now to the state and saying, hey, you know what? Maybe if we come to the Lord, we can find a better way to do this. Because I'm going to tell you something, that those that are in the Forgotten Man Ministry, who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who live the will of God as He intended us to live, have a recidivism rate of 23%, just under 23%. I'm telling you that 80% of the people who go through the Forgotten Man Ministry will go on and live productive lives, who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who live their lives in accordance to God's will, and are productive members of the society. 80%. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. What the Forgotten Man Ministry means to us in our facility, I will tell you this. I've told you before, in our county jail in 2018, we booked in 4,223 inmates. 4,223 people were booked into my jail last year. Some stay 5 hours, some stay the full year. Our daily average count is 221 in our jail. And they are people who come in, like I said, who are depressed, afraid, scared, angry, with addiction. The jail can be a very negative place. Any correctional facility can be a very negative place, very negative atmosphere. But when you bring God and the Forgotten Man Ministry into that, my corrections officers will tell you that those that go and participate in the Forgotten Man Ministry, whether it's the one-on-one, whether it's the Bible study, whether it's the church services, are ideal inmates. They're much calmer. They're much more cooperative. They're easy to talk to. And yes, they're even helpful at times. So it's one of those kind of things that you sit back and you think, oh my gosh, you know, what a wonderful thing. It makes it so much easier for us to do our jobs. And what you do with the Forgotten Man Ministries is amazing. A couple months back, you'll remember, we had a young man in our facility whose mother passed away. How difficult would that be? Just alone having to deal with the death of a loved one, but being incarcerated at the same time? My staff immediately and obviously recognized the difficulty of that situation and reached out to Chaplain Carl. Chaplain Heiser immediately said, dropped everything. And I talked to you before about the way they serve with passion, commitment, desire, purpose, and dedication. That's exactly what Carl did. He dropped everything he was doing and immediately came to the jail to be with us as we delivered the death notification to that young man. He sat with that young man. He comforted that young man. He prayed with him and for him. What a tremendous benefit that is for us in such a difficult situation. Thank you. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. One of the things that I absolutely love and enjoy is on Christmas Eve morning, the day before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Forgotten Man Ministries prepares a feast for our inmates. And not the kind that you're thinking about. I mean, it's not the turkey and the ham and Reverend Prang, oh, I love you. Not even a rubber chicken. That's a, oh, I love you, man. Mrs. Prang, I saw you earlier. I love you. But that's a story for another time with rubber chicken. But it, nevertheless, it's a feast. It's a feast of those things that our prisoners normally don't get. Potato chips, pretzels, cookies, cakes, cupcakes, candy. Oh, and yes, gallons and gallons and gallons of Mountain Dew. Oh, and believe me, the rest of the day, they are just scurrying around the whole place. But what happens in that celebration, it is the celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it is, we have a band, a wonderful band that plays, and a joyful noise unto the Lord they make with Christmas hymns and songs. And for one moment in time, every one of those inmates bows their head and gives glory and honor to our God through prayer, led by Pastor Larry. Every single one of them. Now, granted, they may have short-term memory. Some of them, when they leave, may forget exactly what they just did. But I promise you, there are those that go back to their cell and say, wow, did I have a warm heart in, or a warm feeling in my heart when I bowed my head and prayed? And you know what? Maybe I'll go to this Bible study thing and see what it's all about. And maybe I'll just stop by the church service. I haven't been to church in a long time. And if we touch one, and I think of all of those that Larry has brought to Jesus Christ over the 32 years that he's devoted to this organization. But if we can touch one, and what a wonderful world we would live in if one as one, one time during the day in this country, in this world, we all bowed our heads at the same time and gave glory and honor to our Lord, or to our God, in prayer. How wonderful would this place be? It is truly, truly amazing. Pastor Larry, you've meant so very much to us over 32 years. You've meant a great deal to me and my family. A little over 2 years ago, we lost our Jack to brain cancer. 28-year-old medical student, brilliant future ahead. My wife is a saint. She never left his side. He was diagnosed and fought a valiant fight for 18 months. Pastor Larry and I talked on numerous occasions during that time period. You were there for me when I needed it, and I can't thank you enough. Chaplain Carl, I'm excited. I am thrilled. You are one outstanding human being. You have the love of Christ in your heart, and you're going to share it, and you're going to do a wonderful job. And I am so excited for the future. And I'm so thankful for the beautiful feet that bring the good news. Thank you very much.
Well, good morning. You know, as I think about the past, and I think about being a, you know, many decisions in life come as a young teen. And I made a decision as a young teen. I kind of rejected myself, wasn't great at sports and those kind of things. And so I said, I'm going to work. And I picked a job and got a job and I started to work. And I'm going to build my life around work. And the job that I got, I liked, had a lot of technology, you know, farm equipment and those kind of things. And I was always in awe of the power of machinery. But also came with it, everyone that worked there did some form of another of drugs. And so I started to be around it, and I looked up to the owner. I admired him, and everything that I had ever done was introduced through him. And by the time I got to be about the age of 18, after rejecting myself and building upon that, I was trying to do what man can't do, and that's just work. God give us an amount of time that we can work in a day, and we can kick it up for a season, but I'm trying to do it day after day after day. And I got to build, and I got to build now, so when I get to be my age that I am currently, I can retire. And that was my thought. And so back to this friend, he introduced me to an energy, a drug that would totally destroy my life. I didn't know it. I didn't think of it. And off I went. That took me another, I don't even honestly know, 10 to 12 years. I'm married. I got two boys. I'm starting to raise them up in that world. They're seeing things, something that I've come to learn. Kids aren't naive. We think we live in sin and do what we want to do, and they won't know. They're extremely smart. And I'm bringing them up in that. My life's a mess. Our marriage is a mess. But I'm addicted, and I can't get out of it. I don't know how to get out of it. I have too much pride to get out of it. And I keep thinking tomorrow will be different, but I do the same thing over and over. And it was actually in March when this kind of come to a head. It really, I honestly believe it come to a head. I cried out to a God I didn't know. Within 2 weeks, I couldn't find drugs anywhere in the state of Michigan. And if you've been in an addiction, you learn to fortify. If I can't get it here, I'm going to get it there. If I can't get it there, I'll get it over here. And it was just gone. And I couldn't see any good in it. I couldn't see God was answering my prayer because now it's gone. My family found out. And for the next, I sought treatment. Many might know Dr. Clarkston. Dr. Clarkston was the first person that I ever looked in the eye and said that I'm addicted and I need help. And, you know, we left his office. He took me back to his personal office. And the same thing. Whoever was his patient next didn't see him because he was with me for a couple hours. And that was the start. But then 8 months came. The next 8 months came of emptiness, no purpose, no value, this dried up this want-to mentality in my mind. And then January 2nd, the following year, I ended up at, I was arrested and ended up at the Clinton County Jail, thinking that the worst possible scenario just happened in my life, and it was the best scenario that ever happened in my life. I, you know, you talk about, the sheriff mentioned fear, the fear of being there, the fear of the unknown. And I tell you, the Clinton County facility, I believe, is a very safe place. I felt safe. They might not like what the guards do, but the guards make a safe place, and I felt safe. And then Pastor Larry and many others came in, and I went to a service, heard some things that probably I've heard before but never listened, and I started to listen, and started to hear some things that was flipping my life upside down. And so it was actually about 25 days later, Pastor Larry led me to the Lord in one of those rooms, and my life did flip upside down then. And for the first time in a long, long, long time, I had hope, something I hadn't had. And I can't thank the Forgotten Man Ministries enough. I can't thank the legacy. Sheriff Larry Drew wasn't the sheriff at the time. But there's been many sheriffs in a row that's allowed ministry to take place where God can work and change lives, and I'm so grateful for it. The changes came. There was something that came. I was gone most of that year. I asked God not to move me. Let me do my time at Clinton County. I didn't ask him to lower it. I said, God, just don't move me. I had a fear of people. I moved 12 times in 11 months. And I was thinking, God, you're not answering my prayer. No, God was answering my prayer because he wanted me to get over a fear of people. And so he kept putting me in front of new people, new believers, new encouragement. And I came home, and for the next 14 months, Pastor Larry came to my house every week. You know, not only, I didn't know this at the time, not only do we want to start a process in the jail, we want that to grow when they get out, because I wasn't the only one in jail. She was, my boys were, my parents were, my sister was, a family. And so when I come home, Pastor Larry come to my house for those 14 months, Bible studying me, teaching me, molding me, and he's never stopped. I'm so thankful for him and you. One thing that tripped me up when I came to this church, I came home November 19th. We come into December. It's getting to be Christmas time. And you, as a congregation, showered us with Christmas. I couldn't comprehend what you were doing. I couldn't begin to process it. You guys knew where I'd come from, and yet you were pouring your love upon us anyways, and it really threw me. What is this about? And it brought a bond. I met many great people here, continue to meet many great people here that have been an encouragement over the years, that have poured into me, to our family. God is so good, and he's so faithful, and I can't thank you enough for that.
Hi. So like Carl said, him going to jail affected our whole family. And just to go back a little ways, we were just living life. We were in our 20s. Hey, life is good. We were off doing this, that, or the other thing. And not really thinking about eternity, not thinking about what we were going to do next or, you know, I didn't do drugs, but I like to go out and hang out with my friends and stuff like that. And we were not teaching our boys about God at all. I knew Jesus as my Savior from the time I was a little girl. My mom was a faithful Christian. She took us to church every single week. My world got rocked when I was 14 and my mom passed away. My dad didn't go to church. I never set foot in a church again until Carl got arrested, other than for funerals or weddings. And so I wasn't living for the Lord. And when he got arrested, I don't know how to even explain it, but it was like I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe for like 2 weeks. I forgot to feed the kids. I didn't eat. Our whole world was flipped upside down. He had a business. I had to try to figure out, what am I going to do with this business? How am I going to pay the bills? Who's going to, you know, both of the boys were, Kale was in DK, he was 5, and Jared was 3 at the time that he got arrested. He turned 4 shortly after, and he was in preschool. So just the logistics of, how do I take care of all this on my own? And I had a really good job, but I was, I don't know, I was lost. And one day, shortly after Carl moved from Clinton County into the prison system, his cousin Rex called. And, you know, I knew Rex and Michelle. We weren't super close with them. But he called and he said, you know what? You and the boys need to get in church. And I said, yeah, I agree. And he didn't stop there. It wasn't just like preaching to me, hey, you need to get to church. He said, I found a church for you. And the church that he found was Grove Bible Church. And he didn't know that Pastor Larry went to Grove Bible Church. All he did, and this is back in the 90s, so we didn't have the internet like we do now and stuff. He looked up in the Yellow Pages and looked for a Bible teaching church, and he found Grove Bible Church. And so, is that a coincidence? Absolutely not. God was working out all the details, from him getting arrested because he had to get a hold of him, and he knew he was going to be using him. And man, there's just no coincidence in life. And so the boys and I started coming to church before Carl got out of jail or prison. And he was actually sentenced to 2.5 years. So I didn't really know how long he was going to be gone. But God just worked out the details for him. He was traveled a lot, but he got into a really good rehab program. And he came home at 11 months. And then he served a tether for quite a while. And that was really hard because I had a lot of anger. I had bitterness. I was confused. And even the going through, it doesn't just stop when he comes home. It's not over. You got a lot more to deal with. And so, like Carl said, the ministry doesn't stop with those doors. You're planting the seeds, and you get those guys and ladies for only a very short amount of time sometimes. So you're planting the seed, and you're just asking God to water it and grow it for the next place that they go and the next place they go. You guys were our next place to go, and you loved us. You wrapped your arms around us, and you taught us. And I wanted to have the boys stand up. Our 3 boys are right here. At the time, we only had 2, Kale and Jared. And then I always said I was going to have 2 kids. I have 2 hands. I can take care of 2 boys. And God restored a marriage, and it didn't happen overnight. It took years. And so then 9 years after Jared, we had Logan. And so he's our blessing too. So I just wanted to thank you all for supporting this ministry, because it doesn't just save one person. It's the whole family. And through that, through Carl getting saved, his mom and dad and sister got saved as well as our boys. And I think it goes way beyond that. And you guys are such a huge part of it. We're going to need your support all the time. And we just thank you for it. So.
One last thing. You know, she mentioned a short time. I was there like 60 days. Not very long, but long enough for Pastor Larry, who is very diligent, faithful, he's persistent. Many times he could correct me with just a look. So I cannot thank him enough for his seriousness, his dedication, his patience. Much, much patience. He's a dear brother.
Now I have to keep from being emotional. I want to thank so many people for coming and being here this morning. Sheriff, thank you so much. And I've been telling the sheriff for some time now, I think when he retires from the sheriff's department, he needs to become a preacher. Tina, I've been telling him that. Won't that be exciting? Well, we have this morning a number of people. Paul Garcia is a real good friend. Paul was on the correction staff at the jail for many years, has retired. Just such a blessing to me, to those at the jail. I have to recognize Terry and Inga Hanico. Terry was the sheriff in Clinton County, and I was there visiting a young man. He called me in his office. Some of you have heard this over and over again. Asked me to become the chaplain. I told him I couldn't. I was busy at the church. That wouldn't work. A couple of weeks later, I was there again. He called me in. He said, would you be the chaplain until we can find someone? I spoke to Pastor Bob and the board, and they said, why don't you go ahead and do it? And the rest, as they say, is history. So we also have Stuart Dunning is here this morning, and I certainly appreciate Stuart coming and being a part of this. Stuart, what a blessing. He called me on, I'm using all my time, but Stuart called me on Christmas afternoon and said he had just been rehearsing in his mind all the blessings that God had poured out upon him. And he wanted to call and thank me for the time he had had at Clinton County Jail. No offense to my family, but that was one of the best gifts that I received on Christmas. Carl, I was asked to give a charge to you. I don't know if that's necessary. I think Carl has heard every thought I ever had 4 or 5 times. But it's a privilege, Kyle, for me to stand here today. And I've already used 5 of my 10 minutes, so I don't have much time. I've got 2 pages of typewritten notes plus the things that I jotted along the margin. But I'm going to skip over some of it and do the best I can. Carl, I believe that there are many, many things that are a part of the jail ministry, a part of you being the chaplain, so many things that I could mention. You know, there are 3 that I think are really imperative. I'd like to share those with you this morning. I'd like to share a little scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with 14. He says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life, and who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I don't have time to go into the background. This triumphal procession he speaks of was the Romans, when one of their generals had won a battle, they would have a triumphal procession through the streets of Rome. And as a part of that, they had incense that they would burn, and the aroma of that incense just spread everywhere. Some of those that had been captured were to become slaves. Some of them were going to be taken to the Colosseum and killed. And it was that aroma of the incense was to some the smell of death, and to others the smell of life. And he's going on, and he's really referring to the gospel here. And Carl, the first thing that I want to mention with you is just this. The first critical key thing is the message of the ministry. Carl, we've taught seminars, we teach principles to help people through life. Carl's doing right now marriage and family relationships. Oh, man, what a critical issue. So many people have asked us to help them with this. They know they're struggling. Anger resolution. We have a seminar on finances. So many things that we can share. But, Carl, the focus of the ministry, the message of the ministry must continue to be the gospel. It has to be. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is that agent of change. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's the agent of change. People will not receive the information in the seminars and really be able to apply it to their lives until they've experienced regeneration by the Holy Spirit, being born again. You need to be faithful to the gospel. We live in an age today where so many people want to water it down. They want to be all inclusive. And as long as people have some kind of a religious attachment, well, that will make it acceptable. That's not what Christ said. He said, many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that and the other thing and cast out demons in your name? And he will say unto them, depart from me, for I never knew you. The gospel has to be preached. We can't water it down. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the gospel. It's coming, it's people coming to the recognition that God is real, that God is holy and we are not, that God is just, and as a part of the justice of God, we stand condemned before this holy God. But that he loved us enough that he came to this earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, died in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve, being raised again the third day. And as we recognize that truth, It brings us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the message that you need to continue to share. So the first thing I would say is the message of the ministry. The second thing, and I'm going to really hurry, is the motive of the ministry. Carl, he says here, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. Carl, there are ministries, and I heard, I think Brad Buser say this, there are ministries that believe, at least the focus seems to be just keep the machinery of the ministry going, and it's all about raising money and raising funds. And I just want you to know, Hudson Taylor said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's support. And that may not be scripture, but it's scriptural. And I believe as you're faithful to the ministry God has given you, He will raise the funds to support this ministry. God is faithful. He will do it. The motive for ministry. And the third thing is the means of ministry. He asks a rhetorical question here. He said, who is equal to such a task? And the obvious answer is no one. No one. We're working with people that are difficult to work with. But you know, I've asked this many times. Does God ever ask us to do things that we're not capable of? And the answer is always. Always. God says He delights in taking the weak and the foolish things of this world. And I remember the first time I read that, I said, God, that qualifies me. I'm qualified to be used of God. Carl, there are so many today. I would just say this. I heard a very wise man say one time, what God will bless as a supplement, He will curse as a substitute. And there are many people today who want to substitute intellect, education, personality. We can think of all kinds of things to plug in that we substitute for what really counts. And what really counts is your fellowship with the living God. It's not enough to have relationship. We must have fellowship. We need to be before God every day asking Him to help us to see the sin in our life and confess that sin. And then we need to ask God for the grace to do what He wants done. The Lord Jesus Christ said, without me you can do nothing. But later on the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That enablement is the grace of God. It's God's grace that enables us to go to heaven. It isn't anything we can accomplish on our own. By grace are we saved through faith and faith alone. Philippians 2:13 tells us, and it just slipped my mind, it's He who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. It's God working in you, giving you the desire to do His will and the ability to do His will. That's the grace of God. And you can experience that grace. And not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. And He will be your sufficiency as you walk in fellowship with Him and seek that grace, humbly seeking that grace, and God will enable you. Carl, keep in mind the message of the ministry, the motive of the ministry, the means of the ministry, and your ministry in Clinton County will be successful. God bless you. Brother Sam Taloyan, Dr. Sam Taloyan. I'm going to give you that.
I've been asked to give a charge to the church. I need the microphone. Sheriff Giroux didn't. If you have a Bible and you have a pen, would you please turn to Romans 15 and verse 30? So Grove Bible Church, listen up. This is your verse for this occasion. And I'm going to tell you how you can put a note in your margin that will help you to remember it. My wife and I have been volunteers under Forgotten Man Ministries for 10 years now. Come September, we'll begin our 11th year at Clinton County Jail. And when we have gone to the jail, we've gone with four confidences. Number one, there's no soul God cannot save. Number two, there's no life God cannot change. Number three, there's no sin that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse. And number four, there's no habit or addictive behavior God cannot give victory over. And all of those have Bible verses to substantiate them. We put it in print. We make it available to the groups that we speak to. I think this is a tremendous occasion, a beautiful service. I'd like to challenge the church in two areas. First of all, I challenge you to be an encouragement to Carl. Why does he need encouragement? Because ministry is a battle. Ministry is warfare. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So ministry is a battle. Why does Carl need encouragement? Because he's in a battle. He's in the front line. The bullets are flying when he's active in that ministry there. He needs encouragement because he's human. And some of the great Bible characters, and we don't have time to rehearse these, but some of the great Bible characters face discouragement, deep discouragement. I mean, they were so discouraged that they asked God to kill them and release them from their responsibility. So Carl needs encouragement because he's in a battle. Secondly, he needs encouragement because he's human. And third, he needs encouragement because in this verse I'm going to share with you briefly, Romans 15:30, we have the model servant of God, the Apostle Paul. And he is asking for prayer support. He said, I need help. And you're the ones that can help me. He's addressing a church. Just like Grove Bible Church. I don't know how big the church was in Rome, but the Apostle Paul, 27 books in the New Testament. We won't debate who the human author of Hebrews is. That leaves us 26. The Apostle Paul wrote half of the books of the New Testament. 13 out of the 26 are his signature epistles. And seven times in those 13 epistles, Paul is asking for prayer and sharing requests that he had for prayer. And I want to tell you, if the Apostle Paul, author of 13 books of the New Testament, pioneer missionary church planter through the Roman Empire, starting scores of churches, and by the way, he also had quite a jail ministry. But anyhow, if the Apostle Paul, if the Apostle Paul needed prayer, where does that put us here? The beautiful thing is, we can have a ministry as a church. We can participate as a church. So the first thing you want to do in relationship to Carl, you want to encourage him. And let me tell you how you can encourage him verbally. There are other ways you can encourage, but verbally to encourage him. You go to Carl and you say, Carl, I want you to know you're in my thoughts, you're in my heart, you're in my prayers. Okay, remember those three key words? You're in my thoughts, you're in my heart, you're in my prayers. Okay, you want to do it in sign language? You don't even have to verbalize it. Here's the way it goes. What does that mean? You're in my thoughts. What does this mean? You're in my heart. What does this mean? You're in my prayers. Okay. I tell you what, when you see Carl, even if you don't say a word, just go, You know, here. And he will understand. The second word of encouragement, second word I'd like to charge this church with, not only encouragement, but the second one is participation. Be a partner with Carl. And let me read the text to you. It's in front of you, I trust, by now. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Then he goes on to give some specific requests. Now, if you have your pen handy, let's at least underline these words. I'm reading from the ESV. You may have a different translation, but I think they're similar. All right, I underlined in my Bible, to strive together with. See that? To strive together with. That's partnership. And if you could read that in the language in which it was written, it is only one word. It is the Greek word from which we get the word agony, agonize, agonizomo. And then it's attached to it is the preposition with. So it was used of actually, agony, that Greek word for agony is found seven times in the New Testament. Three times it's translated strive. Three times it's translated, it's another word that's similar. And once it's translated labor fervently. But it was used of athletes. It was used of athletes on a team. It was used of wrestlers in the athletic games. And the word agonizomo means to give it your ultimate effort. Give it everything you got, every ounce of energy you can put into that activity. And Paul is saying, if you will partner with me in ministry, this is what it's like. Sun agonizomo, with effort, with agony, enter into my ministry. So I would challenge the church to partner with him. Paul is calling on it, and you have a very vital part in the success of this brother. I think there are two questions to ask in this partnership. The first question is, Carl, how can I pray for you? So that puts a responsibility on him to keep you informed. But ask him, unless it's stated for you in print, how can I pray for you? And the second thing to ask him is, how can I help you? And Sheriff mentioned the Christmas at the jail. The banquet in October in those areas. Those are practical ways that this church can partner with him. All right, the two key words. Grove Bible Church, listen up. My charge to you this morning is encourage him and partner with him. Now, if you have your pen handy, I want you to put something in the margin of your Bible that will help you to remember to do that. So next to Romans 15:30, I wrote in my Bible, C-C-J. What does that mean? Clinton County Jail. And then I put underneath that C-H. Okay, Carl Heiser. What else did I put down? But the date, 2/24/19. And when you look at Romans 15:30, remember the words, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. You'll have a vital part in this man's ministry. What a beautiful day. Amen? What a wonderful occasion. And we're looking forward to what God is going to accomplish in this ministry. There's a great missionary by the name of Adoniram Judson. He had a 38-year ministry, pioneer ministry in the country of Burma. Part of that time he was put in jail, not for what he did wrong, but for what he was doing right in his association as an English speaker, because Burma was at war with Britain. And when Johnson was in jail, he was asked by a fellow prisoner, Mr. Judson, what are your prospects of converting the heathen now? And Judson said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And Judson said, I will not leave Burma until the cross of Christ is planted here forever. And Carl, I'll tell you, the future is as bright as the promises of God.
I'm going to ask Carl to come, Michelle. I'd call our deacons to come, too. We're going to have a prayer for Carl. If you'd come, too, brother. And it's been good to be here. And we just want to pray over you. And Pastor Larry's going to lead in this prayer.
Father, we come before you. What an awesome thing that we can call you Father. Father, we are in awe of you. Not just you as creator, not just you and your omnipotence, your omniscience, your sovereignty. God, we're in awe that you care about people like us. Father, we are so thankful for your grace, your mercy. We're so thankful for giving us the privilege of watching you work in hearts and lives. God, we have been thrilled over the years to see what you've done in Carl and Michelle and their family. But God, we not only want to thank you for what you've done, God, we want to thank you for what you're going to do. And God, we would ask that you would bring great glory to yourself through the ministry at the Clinton County Jail. We would pray, God, for a harvest of souls. Oh, God, we pray that your Spirit would be at work, convicting of sin and righteousness and judgment. God, we can be faithful, we can go. But God, only by your Spirit is this conviction, this regeneration wrought in hearts and lives, and God, in other families. So, Father, we pray that you would grant a harvest of souls. And then, Father, we pray that you would give Carl wisdom as he seeks to disciple and encourage, God, through the seminars, teaching these men and women to walk with you. God, encouraging them to grow in your grace and in a knowledge of you. Father, we praise you for what you've done. We praise you for what you're going to do. And we want to commit Kyle and Michelle and their family into your hands. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. On behalf of the church and the Deacon Board of Grove Bible Church, we'd like to present you with this certificate of commissioning. This is to certify that Carl Heiser has been commissioned by Grove Bible Church for the ministry of the Clinton County Chaplaincy on the 24th day of February in the year 2019 at Grove Bible Church. May God bless you.
Carl, these efforts that we've made today is just an acknowledgement on our part of what God has already done in your life in placing you in this ministry, using you there, and as a further acknowledgement, I'm going to be privileged to place this badge on you. There, I guess that makes it official. God bless you.
I do want to remind you that we have a meal that's provided just across the parking lot in the Activity Center. Everybody's welcome to join us for that, and I'll be praying for that meal here so that you can go right through the line. I also want to say today we're taking a special love offering for Carl and his family. If you'd like to give toward that love offering, we have a box in the back, or you can write his name on your regular giving envelope. For those who would like to give, members here who would like to give regular offering, just put your offering in the wooden box that's in the back hallway there. But don't forget to ask God what he would have you give in terms of a love gift for Carl today, too. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we're just so thankful for this day you've blessed us with. Lord, you are so good to us, and we give you glory. God, we bless your name for Pastor Larry and his family. God, thank you for Carl and his family. We pray your blessings on them. God, sustain them by your grace. We thank you for how you provide for us in every way, too. And we thank you for this food that you've provided now. Lord, may you even be glorified through our enjoyment of this meal together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you. We're dismissed.